The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Hour number two of The Drive starts now. I'm Bear. Russell's currently stuffing his face with Tanner's mom's excellent peanut butter fudge. Oryx wanting a piece. How good is that stuff for us? Not a big peanut butter fudge guy. You guys are all about the peanut butter, aren't you?
She puts like, there's like a hint of coffee in this stuff, man. It's amazing.
You want a recipe, huh? Like, if you took that home with you, how long would it last in the Smith house? A couple of days, maybe?
Max 3 days.
The little man get into it, too?
It's too good, man. It is too good.
So you don't like the peanut butter, Bear?
I like peanut butter. I've just never been a big peanut butter. I've never been a big fudge guy, period. And like fudge brownies, like the real like fudgy ones, don't like them. I like cake-like brownies.
All right, guys. Appreciate you filling in there. Give me a minute to enjoy some of the goodness that is brought to us by Tanner's mom. We welcome you back. Hour number two of the show. Talk a little Tennessee basketball this afternoon. We'll get the poll results for your Rick and Ridge Barbecue Smoking Out question first. Let's grab a call from John Tweet. He's been hanging patiently through the break. He shall hang no more. Good afternoon, Tweet.
Good day.
Yes.
I need to hear the story about Bear and the Stewart.
Yeah, it was just, I forgot. Thank you. Thank you, Tweet.
It was real simple. I bought, I'm a big fan of, you find the cheapest flight you can on one of those websites, Expedia, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And then you get to the airport early and you sweet talk the counter person and you get your cheap upgrade in the first class. So I bought it in Knoxville and for some reason, you know, I connected in Atlanta because I always fly Delta. And then like maybe like 45 minutes into the flight in New York, she's like trying to put me back in the coach. And I'm like, I bought an upgrade. And then she kept trying to put me back in the coach. And then I said,
Bear
no.
Slipped down into the box seats and thought he was just going to act like he belonged there.
I swear to God, I didn't. Because
the Tommy Bowl usher came and tapped him on the shoulder.
That is the situation where you can't do that unless you really bought the upgrade. And it's a simple story. I just asked your supervisor, and a male flight attendant came up and he got it taken care of.
Tweet, you could see video of it on YouTube if you want. Bears getting tased in the aisle while passengers are straining them with their belts.
Now, I do have a buddy that, you know those signs in the bathrooms that say no smoking and do not tamper with the smoke detectors?
Yeah.
He got crap housed on a flight to L.A., was fiending for a cigarette, went, lit a cigarette, and then tried to tamper with the smoke detector.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, he got out of it.
I'd assume it's probably a federal offense.
Yeah, but he had the kind of job and that he was able to get out of it.
I can't tell if Bear would be one of those guys that hates flying or gets so anxious that he gets worked up and rages on somebody.
No, actually I don't. Happened. Usually because, you know,
I want the full can of tomato juice, not half of it. I told you. Now you go get the rest of that can, or I'm going to take this cart and shove it all the way up to the captain's chambers.
No. I'm usually the guy that they put in the aisle with the emergency exit, and I'm usually happy-go-lucky when I'm flying.
Oh, boy, somebody said Kyle Alexander. I didn't catch the call. Kyle, that dude, Abuti, or whatever his name is from Vanderbilt, I thought Kyle did a fantastic job on him. Stripped him a time or two, kept him from, it wasn't exactly a block, but altered shots, had a block. I can think of one where he stripped him on his way up or blocked him, basically had a few held balls he caused. So I thought Kyle played well last night. He's not always good. It's not, you're not going to see it exactly. You know what I mean?
I thought he played better last night. The problems I saw, I'd chalk up more to, like I'm saying, fatigue, and then whatever's going on with his hand right now.
I didn't notice him grabbing. I noticed Grant continued to grab his wrist, but it didn't seem to affect him. They've got to get him some rest. They really do.
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem is that the rotation has shrunk so much. What we really need is we need some of the bench players to step up and take some
Walker
of the load off the guys.
Walker was in there for, what, a minute?
Yeah.
If that.
One rebound.
Volke played pretty well, I thought. And somebody was complaining about that. I don't understand that. I thought Volke played pretty well.
The biggest problem I had last night is, they're doing those – god-awful bounce, but I don't know when the hell they started doing that. These horrible bounce passes. I thought Bone had a bad night last night.
He had a terrible game. Worst game this entire season. He turned the ball over at least three times that I can think of, maybe four.
I mean, I thought Barnes was going to pull his own hair out.
I feel like I remember there were a few times where he left his feet before he knew what he was about to do with the ball.
Which is very unlike him.
He tried that little, I guess, I don't know whether it's where the big guy comes out and tries to set a screen, and then he tries to throw it between the two defenders and threw it out of bounds, like threw Grant a tough pass to handle. And I couldn't tell if it was on Grant or Bone, but there were two times he got up in the air, and I think one time he turned it over and one time he didn't. And it's just not like him.
Bill referenced it, I mean, last night during the game.
He's tired. I think they're tired, man. I really do. I think they're dog tired.
But the problem is, everybody's, it's that point of the season for everybody.
No, I don't get it. I wonder how our rotation, like the amount of minutes he plays, those guys, your Grant, your Admiral, Bone, the amount of minutes Bone plays. You're talking about a ton, man.
I'm telling you, he doesn't play them any more minutes than Calipari plays his guys or Coach K plays his guys.
That's fair. I'm just, you're trying to look for something. I'm just trying to, get to the bottom of it.
I think they're banged up and could use some rest. I do agree with the general premise.
Like another thing I noticed offensively last night is they all seem to be, especially the guys that have had trouble of late shooting threes, they're all hesitant, and like they get it, and you can tell they're kind of thinking about taking a shot, but then they stop, and then
they want to run the offense.
Yeah. Anytime a guy clutches, right? So when he comes and he's got a second to think about it, they almost, like you see him hitch, they almost always miss. You want them, as soon as they get it, if they're open, just to let it go. And if they miss, they miss. But like you see him clutch a little bit, you know what I mean? Take a second to gather, and whatever it is, then it's never on. I mean, like when – you'll see it. Just watch for it. Boys, y'all be good. Have a good show.
Thank you, Tweet.
I noticed Bowden did that a few times last night. It's starting to worry me.
And Admiral. Admiral does a lot.
Bowden doesn't know when to let it fly. When he's, flashing, when he's shooting out there to the three-point line and they feed him, he just immediately pops it.
Yep. It's
and deadly it, then. But if he's just sitting over there on the wing and they toss it to him, he's – it's just
the play where Fulkerson gets the ball in transition right at the rim.
Go ahead and dunk it.
And kicks it back out. And
that he kick it out to Bowden? He was like, what the hell are you doing?
It was in that really frustrating stretch of the second half where we just could not get anything going.
You mean the whole thing?
Well, there was a really, really frustrating. No, like the first 10 minutes or so of the second half was just like, guys, what are we doing? What are we doing? 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to get on the drive this afternoon, your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. How confident are you And the Vols repeating as SEC basketball champions, 50% of the audience says they are somewhat confident. 26% say very confident. 18% say not very confident, and only 6% expressing a zero confidence vote right now for the basketball squad. Let's get Philly in here next. Hello, Phil. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Sorry,
what do you say, Philly?
I'm somewhat confident.
Yeah.
With me and Brandon.
Yeah. I mean, is this the same time last year that Bowden went into his funk?
Just about, it seems like. Maybe a little bit earlier. But no, he went into it like he – because remember, he was leading the country in three-point shooting percentage after he, I think he went 6 of 6 at Wake Forest. And then once we got into conference play, he was not – I mean, it dropped off pretty quickly.
Oh, I know how you remedy it real quick. Put him on the bench and that, and then he'll find a way out of it.
Huh. He,
Jalen Johnson a few more minutes.
Yeah. I kind of like what we see out of that kid.
He flashed last night.
But, guys, our lack of a five-man is coming back to stare us in the face. We don't have a true five-man on our roster unless DJ Burns will be one day.
I think Alexander is a true five-man. He's just way – he's so skinny. He gets tossed around a lot. I mean, he's going to he plays with his back to the basket. He's going to finish among the school's all-time leaders in blocked shots. He rebounds a lot, but I mean, there's no doubt about it. If he's going to be up against a Reed Travis, or it'll be interesting to see how he performs this weekend against the Twin Towers that LSU brings to the table. I mean, he can definitely get ragdolled a lot. I mean, it happened a couple of times last night, I thought.
Well, really, he may actually play those guys in LSU better than he did the Kentucky guys. Those guys are big and thick, and LSU guys are, well, they're not as slim as Alexander, but they're built kind of similar.
By the way, Reed Travis, I don't know if you guys saw, left their game against Missouri last night with a slight knee sprain.
Oh,
I hate that.
I know you
did. Elbows that Kentucky was throwing last night and then calling us.
Golly, man.
What was the score on that game last night?
They ended up winning, I think, by 8.
They were up like 20-something, and then kind of –
Rick Barnes, next week, I mean, he's got his hands full with LSU, obviously, but he needs to make sure that – I'm talking before the game, that he talks to the league offices or somebody and says, look, you know, all we want's a fair shake. I'm not asking for preferential treatment, but you let them get away with murder last time, and we've got enough to do trying to deal with – they're super athletic, talented players without having to worry about getting screwed over by the officials while they're at it.
Yeah, it's all P.J. Washington and Reed Travis and that the other guy, their third-string big man who played last night against Missouri, sticks his arm out. And he's called Schofield, N1 tackle every time he sticks his arms out, but they won't do anything in Kentucky when they do it.
By the way, I have not brought this up yet. The open mic, Rick Barnes, at the beginning of the broadcast.
That was hilarious. I've got it on DVR.
I kept waiting. I was like, man, I don't know if Barnes curses at all, but no. I was a little worried there for a minute, man, flying by the seat of his pants. Brandon, you didn't see this. The first 2 or 3 minutes of the game were just no audio from the announcers. All it was Rick Barnes mic'd up. And he was telling a story. They caught him like it was a glitch, right, by ESPN. They caught him telling a story about Teddy Valentine throwing him out of an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, what was he say? He threw out some player of Barnes.
He threw out Brandon Mouton, and then Barnes went up to him and said, all right, you want to make a mockery out of it? Let's go ahead. And he threw me out.
Pretty funny.
It was pretty good.
But guys, I mean, all I care about is how we finish the year. I don't even care about an SEC regular season championship. As long as we're one of the top four buys, it really don't even matter.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I've been saying that. What I care about is March.
Yeah. And I'm like, baby, I would like to see us win the SEC tournament because this will be, what, 40 years since we won it?
Yes.
1979. I remember it. It was a beautiful sight.
40-year anniversary. I was just a twinkle in my papa's eye.
Did you see what Tyler Hero said, that Tennessee was scared of P.J. Washington?
Yep.
I guess you can talk smack whenever you win,
I guess so. I mean, do you necessarily disagree with him?
No, not really, but I know one thing. If when P.J. Washington comes down here, yep. I want him on the ground.
Yep. I think it's going to be a war when they come down here. I could be wrong here, but my guess is Tennessee will be ready to play its most physical game of the Rick Barnes era when Kentucky comes down here. It will
be. They're back to karate defense up there. Remember that? There?
Yeah.
Joe Behal, yeah. Karate defense.
They always got away with it, too.
They're back to the roots now. You know, Kentucky's just a bunch of cheap shot arse. That's all they are. See?
Oh, man.
Takes one to know one.
Phil is trying to do, man. He's trying to get me all fired up.
Phil can
it's
get
working.
Phil can get you fired up.
Oh, those toothless, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing.
Settle down, man.
Huh.
We got LSU on Saturday. You finally started acting normal again yesterday afternoon.
I want to be a wreck next week. I'll just go ahead and let you know. Just going to go ahead and let you know.
You can be a little bit more understanding next year during football season on Georgia Week? With my insanity?
I mean, it's not like I'm trying to roll out the welcome mat for Georgia when they come up here next year or anything like that.
Yeah, but you aren't actively hoping that, you know, they're all going to fall coming down the steps of the plane.
I'm not hoping anything like that happens to Kentucky players.
No, I am.
Well, yeah. That's a horrible way to be.
What?
Wishing harm on student athletes because of the color of laundry that they decide to wear.
Well, you're either with us or you're against us. They beat the crap out of us in the first half Saturday night. Those jackass Zebras let them.
So you hope they get hurt?
Yeah. Wouldn't bother me a bit. Hope that Travis guy's in a wheelchair. Cheap shot artist.
It's a terrible thing to say. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's son, Bear. How would you feel if some slack-jawed yokel meth head from Kentucky said the same thing about Grant Williams? How would you feel?
They do, Russ. They're proud of how they played last Saturday night. They beat the hell out of us. They're proud of it.
No.
Butthead hair
dude
Matt Jones is the leader of that pack of idiots.
You're wrong. They're not. They don't think they did anything wrong. They think that was just good hard defense. We're just outplayed them.
Because the referees never call it. Phil's right. It's the throwback to the Joe B. Hall days. That's what they used to do, and the SEC always let them get away with it.
I don't disagree. I don't think most normal people want to see anybody get seriously injured out there.
I didn't say I wanted to be seriously injured.
You said you wanted to see the kid in a wheelchair,
for
man.
The rest of this season, Russ.
That's not that. That's going to require a broken leg. Serious injury.
Maybe just, some torn cartilage or something.
All right, I don't want to hear anything more about how Kentucky brings out the worst in me, and I lose my mind when we start talking about Kentucky.
You acted like a loon on Monday.
You just called for a guy to be hospitalized.
That's what I do. You're supposed to be the voice of reason here on the drive.
What do you think I'm doing right now? Can't wish for somebody to be physically harmed. It's a basketball game. Come on, man. Relax. It's just
harm.
A basketball game. Why do you have a Band-Aid on your computer?
I'm like, it's over the camera. Do you not do that? You've got an Apple. You don't get – a lot of people do that.
I've never heard of anybody putting a Band-Aid
on their
computer.
Yeah, usually they use a little dot or a piece of tape or something.
You think the government's watching you?
Huh?
You think the government's watching you?
I have no idea who. I don't think it's a government. I think there's plenty of people that hack computers and will turn your camera on remotely.
Big Brother?
Either that or, Nigerian mobsters. I don't know.
Quick timeout. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
A lot of people saying you need to disable your microphone while you're at it, covering up the camera. You disable the mic?
I don't know where it is.
Like you, wait, you don't know where it is to turn off, like on your computer?
No, I don't know where like the,
the
mic
physical
is.
Microphone
yeah,
is.
Yeah, or I just like tape over it. Muffle it. No, they can hear me yelling at my kid.
Well, what are they going to see?
Get off the damn Xbox! I don't know. It's just, that's weird, man.
It is weird. I heard they can look through your TV now at home.
If you've got a smart TV, that you can.
How? They have cameras on them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so.
I have a dumb TV. I don't know.
You're just sitting there.
I've got... Like
in your underwear on a Saturday morning, scratching yourself.
See, my thing is, who's weird? Who's the weird one? Me for not having my stuff covered up, or them for looking? It's them.
I mean, nobody's arguing that with you, Brandon. I mean,
yeah, I'm not saying that that you're. I mean, it's possible, man. I just assume that everything you do. Every website you go to, somebody's watching you. Somebody knows out there, man. Somebody knows.
That doesn't make it right, Russ.
It doesn't. But that's, I mean, think about our kids, man. That's the world they're growing up in. They don't even know what it was like simpler times. In the days before cell phones, in the days before cable TV, three channels was all you got. The days before handheld video games. The days before everybody had a car. Everybody had a car. Remember when your first high school buddy got a car? How liberating it was?
Yeah. There's like eight of us in it.
Everybody's piling in to a
Calling
a
like
Honda
eight times,
Civic.
You better not forget to come get me.
Oh, man. Nothing worse than being young, being at home, knowing that your friends were out and you were stuck at home. No way to get to wherever it was they were.
Oh, yeah.
Stranded.
It's a horrible feeling.
Just absolutely stranded. All right, we got a lot to get to here this afternoon. Obviously, basketball taking up the majority of the conversation so far. Speaking of Big Brother and silly little things about modern life. Think about a new segment here, Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you think. Today in millennial dumbassery. Today in millennial dumbassery. New segment. We can do it every day. What do you think?
Millennial dumbassery.
No?
Eh.
Emory University down in Atlanta.
Oh, God, I know where you're going.
You saw this?
Yes.
Emory University marketing students have suggested they did a full project and presentation to their class on this and since gone viral on internet.com, suggesting that the NHL's Nashville Predators, your Nashville Predators, change their nickname to the Nashville Sabercats in order to, quote, get away from the stigmas associated with the word predator. What do you think about that?
Well, that's quite literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, but
absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, really? These kids are triggered by the word predator. Like, do they actually think of when they think of the Nashville Predators and the hockey team? Like, what image comes to mind? Like Chris Hansen telling the guy to sit right over here, some creepo like standing out in their bushes, looking at a peeping Tom, looking into the house.
Yeah, I think so, Russ.
That's what they think of when they think predators?
Sounds like it.
So I just want to clarify here.
Yeah.
Because I myself am a millennial.
You speak for your generation.
I think, Russell,
mm-hmm.
you need to – I know millennial, it's a catchy term, but I think this is a little bit more on Gen Z after the millennials.
Whatever, they're all millennials to me. See, millennial it's not a specific time frame. It's not a specific time frame, Brandon. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. And the mindset is super softness, looking for offense around every corner, and it we can't just wrap ourselves in bubble wrap out in society. Everybody else has to, too. We can't just avoid knives. Everybody else has to wrap themselves in bubble wrap. People can be, you know, you could be a millennial and not be a millennial. You could be a millennial and be a baby boomer. I know some baby boomers who are millennials. Barron's is a millennial tendencies. We've seen them before.
Me millennial tendencies.
Yeah, I'm just saying, a little soft about some certain things.
Like what? The animals?
Yeah, I mean,
environment.
Yeah.
Wanting to leave the world a better place for my grandchildren.
You came down pretty firmly on the side of Chief Wahoo as an offensive caricature who's got to go the other day. Thought that was a little millennialish of you.
No, it was just more looking, taking a hard look at myself.
Yeah, well, there you go. Huh? Admit it. You want the Predators to change their name. You're thoroughly triggered.
No.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I'm really not, Russ.
That logo with the teeth just sends a chill up your spine, doesn't it? Makes you think of Ted Bundy.
No, you're the only person who makes.
Have you guys seen the abducted in plain sight thing everybody's talking about yet?
No, I've told you that I'm not going to watch that.
It's not
going to
do it.
No. I've got a really good story, though.
You going to watch it, Brandon?
The Ted Bundy?
No, Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix.
Sorry, I was reading Rick's text. Maybe. I like big Forensic Files guy. Love some Forensic Files.
What's that?
You've never watched Forensic Files?
I watched all those things, man. Is it like the first 48?
Yeah, I don't like those either. Yeah, I can't. First 48.
Oh, I love the first 48.
Funk.
I love Forensic
Files. Hey, Russ, Will on Twitter said, remind Russ that he is technically a millennial. Time frame is those born between 80 and 98.
That's what I said. It's not about a time frame. It's about a mindset. Plenty of millennials, plenty of people I know with that millennial mindset.
So what would you consider? What would you consider me, Russell?
I've said before, you're sneaky tough. You're sneaky tough. You had the Black Death last week. You had the coming out both ends sickness. I offered to bring you the chicken soup and the Gatorade. You're like, no, I got it.
It's because his mama already brought him stuff from Granger County.
Is that true?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, all right. Well, you are a millennial. I've always said.
Oh, you didn't have
sneaky soft.
You
Brandon
didn't have
Orrick.
Mrs. Dubs taking care of you.
Sneaky soft, Brandon Orrick.
No, oh, God, I can only imagine what that poor girl had to go through that day. All right, be quiet, children. Your dad's sick. Don't say anything.
Yeah, like that works on a 4-year-old.
I bet you were laid up in bed. You had a little bell that you'd ring.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Oh, honey.
I don't feel like that's a millennial thing, though, Russ. I mean, if you're sick and you're lucky enough that your mom's still around, and that's just your mom's taking care of their kids. It's not like you can go to the store. I mean, hell, you can barely leave the bathroom when you've got a virus like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sick before, and mom's, you know, dropped me off a Kroger bag with 3 or 4 orange Gatorades, chicken soup, saltines, a couple of bananas. Yogurt's
important.
You got to get the good bacteria back in there after you flush it all out.
So Nashville Sabretooth, you're again it.
Yeah, man, this is
keep
Preds.
The Preds.
Golly,
y'all want to get in the Shire?
Idiots at Emory.
We got a Shire update coming up. Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan run right out. News from the Shire. When we continue, plus we'll find out who's on the docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. It is The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Brandon with you. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Steve-O says, what is the deal with the TBA hype man? So cringy, he forgot Admiral's name last night. Is that true?
I didn't know.
I haven't been to a game yet this year.
He called Bowden Schofield.
Oh.
And then he corrected himself.
Bowden doesn't start. Who are you? Are you talking about Jarnigan, the PA guy? Because
evidently there's
some other guy with like a microphone running around on the court beforehand.
No, I was talking about the national announcers. I guess it was – who was on with Billis last night?
It wasn't Billis. It was Sean Farnham, and Sean Farnham was the color guy. I can't remember who the play-by-play guy was.
See,
talks
like Jay Billis, real soft and kind of introspective. It was one of them called Bowden Schofield.
I haven't been to a game yet this year.
I don't know the guy's name, but it's a younger guy. And
Is it cringy?
Nah, I mean.
Yeah.
Dadgum, boys.
I've heard from multiple people that it's not an enjoyable part of the arena experience.
I mean, I'd rather just let Jarnigan do it.
Here's the thing about the arena. Couple things. So you got two things at play. We're talking about joking around about the millennial thing, and I don't care if you're a millennial, whatever, man. Welcome to the show. Plenty of softness is a mindset, not necessarily no generation has monopoly on it. But I'll tell you what, speaking of generational divides, that's what we've got going on in Thompson Bowling, because you've got the
blue hairs.
I prefer, older folks, the people in their 50s and 60s, who they have money to spend and they have season tickets and they're at those games.
Rattle your jewelry.
And they're not necessarily the ones that are going to be standing on their feet for the entire game, hooting and hollering and all that stuff. But you need those people, right? Because they're the ones who buy the season tickets and finance the arena and everything. You can't kick them out. Then you've got, and by the way, those people are the ones who are not likely to like a younger guy on the mic trying to get the crowd hype, all that stuff.
Who is it?
I don't know.
We got some breaking news, Russ.
Can it wait? Is it important? I was kind of building a thing here.
You go ahead and build your thing, but yeah, it's important to us.
All right, we'll go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk here with Bear. This better be good.
Train has derailed near Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville. Everybody that is out and about, avoid the area. KFD is responding. Hazmat is on the scene. Looks like a 5 or 6 car derailment.
Any bodies?
Not yet, but you don't remember what was it about? 10, 12, you remember when that train derailed Farragut?
Yeah.
Had the chlorine gas leak and they had to evacuate like everybody out that way?
Well, wasn't there one in kind of like Fountain City area near Inskip a couple of years ago too? Trains, sneaky dangerous.
God, I mean, this looks bad from WATE.
You see a train, it's on the ground, doesn't go that fast. What could possibly go wrong? See what happens when one of those things falls over.
It looks like something went major wrong over there.
Oh, God.
Wow. I'm surprised we didn't hear that.
There's a reason it's not a viable form of transportation anymore.
No, I think it's viable. I just think it takes forever.
We just don't do it. I mean, every other,
Let's first go hop on the Amtrak Express.
Has high-speed rail. Wouldn't you rather get on a high-speed train and, you know, you get to L.A. and what?
From where?
From here?
Yeah. Knoxville to L.A. direct. What happens when you go through the Rocky Mountains? Do you go up or do you go through them? Some kind of long tunnel?
Yeah, I'd say. It'd wind around.
I don't know, man.
I feel like it'd be fun to take the drive on a train.
I feel like a plane crash and a train crash are going to be equally as destructive, and it's just about...
Well, I mean, a plane crash, you can die on impact.
Depends on where.
Tell that to Gary Rosington Bear.
Yeah.
It's true. You realize if Ronnie hadn't gone up and sat in the front of the plane, he'd still be alive?
Yeah, you don't know that.
So anyway, a train derailment in West Knoxville this afternoon. That should do wonders for area traffic. Hope everybody's okay. Where were we? Thompson Bowling Arena hype man. So you've got the older set in there, and you got the younger set. And here's my thing with Thompson Bowling, the atmosphere. I've said this for years, right? And I don't think it'll ever happen, but it should. The arena is so big that you are not going to have a quote-unquote college basketball-type atmosphere in Thompson Bowling Arena. I just don't think it can be done. But you can have an NBA-type atmosphere, which is pretty cool. If you've ever been to an NBA game, here's the thing. What I would do, one of the major things I would do, I'd get the pep band out of there. And I love a good pep band and horns and drums and all that stuff. It doesn't sound good in there. How many times have you been in Thompson Bowling where they've got the music playing through the PA or something, and then they cut it off, and then the pep band comes on? It's like, it's just, it can't fill the arena. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't get you hyped up. My feeling is, you got a huge arena like that, you take out the band, and you turn up the music. Because it definitely has an impact on the atmosphere in there. I don't know about this hype man because I haven't been yet this year. I'm hoping to go to the Kentucky game. But I haven't seen it. So I don't know who he is, and if he forgot Admiral Schofield's name last night, obviously that's not a good look for one of the senior leaders on the squad. But I guess it is what it is. Jeff, what are your thoughts on Pruitt letting Ansley call the plays on defense? Who is this Pruitt you speak of? Oh, yeah, football. We have a football question here on the drive. Any thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt letting Derek Ansley call the plays on defense?
Cornbread.
Nah. He's comfortable with it. Comfortable with him. He's got a
Are we taking him at his word, what he said last week, that Ansley will call the defense?
Yeah, because I don't think there's any way Ansley, being who he is and where the career track he was on in the NFL, that he's coming to college to just be, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's, you know, what do they call those things, those creepy-looking dolls?
Puppet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
– A ventriloquist dummy.
He's either going to take this job or he's going to take the Georgia defensive coordinator job. And, I mean –
Does Kirby
call the plays down there, or did Mel Tucker?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wonder, okay, he can say that now. What happens when we get into – what's our first big game, BYU? What happens – or even Florida. What happens when we get in Florida and we're struggling a little bit? They're making some plays on us in the third quarter, and hopefully it'll be a tight game we have a chance to win. Is Pruitt, knowing what we've learned about this guy – in the 1 year that we've gotten to know him a little bit, does anybody really think he's just going to stand idly by and let somebody else make all the play calls for defense?
Yeah, I mean, I do. But, I mean, again, this is somebody that he's worked closely with in the past.
Oh, he worked closely with Scherer in the past. He didn't let him call the plays. Supposedly, he and Tyson Helton were best friends, and we all saw how that worked out. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying I'm skeptical that a guy that
has. It's kind of like your whole Grant Soft kind of thing. I feel like you're sowing discord amongst the Vol fan base this week, Russ, and quite frankly, don't like it.
I mean, I don't know. Well, here's the thing about it, though, Bear. I'm not trying to sow anything. I kind of like Pruitt calling the plays on defense. I'm kind of skeptical of Ansley getting to call them. Quite frankly, we hired the best defensive coordinator in college football to be our head coach, and I don't think he should be spending as much time on the offense as he did last year and the special teams and everything. I kind of like him calling. You see head coaches all the time, especially in the pros, who call their own plays on offense or defense. Like, I don't mind Pruitt calling the defensive play. He's good at it. I mean, you saw those videos of him in the Auburn game where he's basically calling out the play before the snap and telling, hey, Balin, it's coming to you.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool. But
I mean, I like that. I don't want to lose that.
There's a reason he's our head. He needs to concentrate on more on being the head coach.
Do we think Ansley will be better? That's the question. Do we think Ansley will be better at it than him? He's never done it before.
I guess we'll have to wait till BYU and find out.
All right, stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Back with more. 865-546-8200. We will be getting in the Shire. Hold your horses. The Drive rages on after this. Jalen Hurd opening up about his departure from Tennessee in an article on NFL.com. Hurd, one of the...
Really?
I don't know if he's one of the top receivers in the NFL draft, but he's definitely a guy that's...
He's going to be a steal for somebody. That kid can play some foosball.
He's talking about the perception that he demanded changes in the Tennessee offense during the 2016 season. He said, quote, I wasn't afraid to ask for what I wanted, but I never once demanded it or acted disrespectful to Coach Jones about it. He would say, I've got you, but then it would be the same old thing. Just tell me things aren't going to change, and I might have transferred sooner, and there wouldn't have been any hard feelings. All I ever wanted was to be told straight.
Yeah. Does that surprise you? The narrative that Butch Jones pushed out was false, and that
no, and it doesn't surprise me that Butch Jones would, or any football coach,
Butch especially,
successful or unsuccessful, doesn't matter, would basically lie to a player to get him, especially a talented player, to get him to stay. It's probably hard for him to know at the time, but, I mean, like, we knew Butch was never changing that offense. He wasn't going under center in an I formation.
No.
Like, he did it a couple of times. And
He did it in the bowl game to keep him from transferring.
Yeah. 2016 Georgia game. Hurd was apparently in concussion protocol for the bulk of the game, but put himself into the game on Tennessee's final kick return. He owns up to that error in judgment today, said, quote, I just wanted to win. I definitely wanted to be in on that play, but I wasn't supposed to. I was in concussion protocol. That's a big no-no.
Why didn't they take his helmet?
It's a good question. Maybe they did. He got a different one. I don't know.
I don't either.
According to Hurd, Jones approached him after the game and convinced him to go along with a lie about Hurd's ankle being the reason he spent so much time on the sideline. Fearing NFL scouts would look harshly on a previous concussion, Hurd agreed to go along with it. Quote, the more I look at that situation, I think the reason he did that was because I went back into that game because they didn't take my helmet away. There you go. And he was going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
During his last game as a volunteer, Hurd pulled himself out due to some post-concussion symptoms he was feeling. There was certainly some that felt like he was doing it out of frustration, but Hurd maintains he was doing it out of concern for his health. Quote, I took myself out because my head and back were hurting. I definitely wasn't thinking coming off the field that I was leaving school.
I think that's probably true.
Hurd's decision to transfer was met with plenty of cynicism, but former teammate Jayshon Robertson comes to his defense. Robertson asserts that not everyone knew the full story about what Hurd had gone through, saying, quote, it was pretty obvious that not every player had a full understanding of the situation. When you have people that don't understand, they're going to fill in the gaps themselves with their own biases or opinions. Hurd transferred to Baylor, became a wide receiver, eclipsed 1,000 yards receiving from scrimmage for the Bears and is now hoping to be drafted in the 2019 NFL draft.
I mean, it's just one more thing that just cements in my mind that Butch Jones is a complete moron. With all the talent he had here.
Be kind.
No, I'm not going to be kind. Butch, you're an idiot. Why not let that kid move to wide receiver? I mean, hell, we had Alvin Kamara. And J.K. Shuttlesworth, whatever he calls himself, Kelly, JFK.
I think if Butch Jones had moved Jalen Hurd to receiver going into the 2017 season, or actually, well, yeah, it would have been the 2017 season, right? So, yeah. So Kamara's gone. You got John Kelly back there. If he had moved to Hurd.
No, it would have been 20.
It would have been 2016 because he left.
2016, yeah.
Even I think we would have killed him for it if he had moved Hurd to receiver.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because we never used our receivers under him. It's like, what? You're going to take this guy who's on pace to break the school rushing record and move him to receiver? Like, I think Kamara would have balled out, obviously, but there you need two backs, right? I mean, you always need two backs, and if – I don't know. What do you think, Brady? Would we have – just been perfectly fine with that. I feel like fans, media would have absolutely lambasted Butch Jones if he moved, even if it was the player's wish.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, just given the fact that it was Butch Jones and anything the guy did kind of brought a lot of criticism. Yeah. So.
It would have been a really awkward move. I think that, hey, and it's great for her because it worked out. He did what he had to do. He was concussion prone as a running back. He had to get out of that position. And if he did it at Tennessee, it was not going to be good for anybody. Jones would have come under in criticism. The player would have. It would have been just been a bad deal. So he got out, didn't have to be a part of the disaster that was the 2017 season at Tennessee, had a good year this past year at Baylor, made the transition to the position he wanted to play, and now he gets to go play in the NFL. And guess what? We got rid of the coach we didn't like.
That's inexcusable.
So, from my vantage point, it kind of feels like it's a win-win for everybody. Stay with us. The drive continues. Coming up, we'll hit the reset button. Hour number three. Oh, man. You got to get that fudge out of here. We got to get that out of here. I've got.
It's tempting you, Russell.
My wife's cooking a big dinner tonight. Turkey and stuffing. Yeah. I think I've already got. I might have already ruined my appetite.
You snarl your nose at turkey and dressing?
I don't like Thanksgiving.
No, I'm not.
I was talking to Bear.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Bear doesn't like Thanksgiving dinner. So weird. I'm going to – got to get that fudge out of here so I keep the appetite up here. Sorry, hon. I know you worked on this dinner all day, but Tanner's mom brought the fudge, and I'm just so full right now. I'm going to bed. See you tomorrow. We'll see you in about 5 minutes, hour number three of The Drive coming up.